This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending 25th November 2022. Hello and welcome to the Winchester Talking Newspaper with extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle dated at the 24th of November 2022. We are very pleased to welcome as guest reader Kimberly Barber, editor of the Hampshire Chronicle.
Hello. Hello.
Of course, without the Hampshire Chronicle, there would be no Talking Newspaper.
True.
She joins our regular readers, who are Tony Bergstrom.
Hello.
John Richards.
Hello.
And Jane Rutter.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, John Parker. The headline stories this week are Market in Ukraine War Backlash Fear, Streets Light Up as City Gets Festive, and Traffic Safety Fears at New Housing Development. So we'll start with the story behind the first headline.
The Market in Ukraine War Backlash Fear. A Russian-linked stall has been scrapped from Winchester Cathedral Christmas Market amid fears of a public backlash over the Ukraine war. The nuns of St. Elizabeth's Convent in Minsk, Belarus, have been selling religious trinkets at the market since it opened. However, organisers decided to ditch the chalet at the 11th hour after allegations came to light suggesting the monastery actively contributes to Russian aggression in Ukraine. Reports from Belarus claim the volunteer group Help the Brothers was set up in August under the leadership of a nun, with the blessing of the confessor of the monastery, Archpriest Andrei Lemeshkovno, who is known for his pro-Russian views. The project works with the same group created 6 months earlier by nuns in Moscow. In one photo, posters can be seen encouraging parishioners to support the military by bringing them warm clothes, transferring money, or buying a postcard and writing a letter. Letters with text to the dear soldier from White Russia / Belarus have been sent to the front lines, while the nuns are given lists of who to pray for. Such lists include wounded soldiers and those in captivity. On the same Facebook page, it used to announce the nuns were returning to Winchester's famous market. The monastery wished Patriarch Kirill a happy birthday. The head of the Russian Orthodox Church has a close relationship with Putin and formally told civilians that sacrifice in the course of carrying out your military duty washes away all sin. Born in Belarus in a Ukrainian father, Tatiana Salvage, who runs a language school in Mitchildever, has been a key figure in welcoming refugees. She said churches in both Belarus and Russia are used to spread propaganda. The money they will raise with this stall, or at least part of it, may end up supporting Russian soldiers who go to Ukraine to kill civilians, she said. It's outrageous and probably not safe for those people to even be at the market, never mind the ethical side of it. A lot of Ukrainian people would understandably be very angry, and who knows what could happen, she added. The stall had been suspended when the market launched on Friday, November the 18th, for the cathedral to investigate. A spokesman said, concerns were raised regarding a chalet after this year's Christmas market. After considering the matter carefully, the cathedral made the decision to close the chalet. Councillor John Tippett Cooper supported the decision. He said, Winchester's Ukrainian community were very concerned about this group, and some online material suggesting it possibly sympathises towards the Russian invasion inflicted on Ukraine. I have no doubt that some within the convent will have charitable and genuinely decent aims. However, A brief search online shows that there are a number of very concerning public comments by leaders within the convent about a range of subjects that do not align with Winchester's value as a city of sanctuary.
Lantern Parade 2022. Streets light up as city gets festive. The streets of Winchester were lit up by a parade of colourful lanterns. There was fun for all the family as Winchester Cathedral's popular winter event returned. The event took place on the opening day of the Winchester Cathedral Christmas Market. People were encouraged to make their own lanterns, see the displays inside the cathedral, and join a fun family parade starting from the cathedral. The parade ended with a speech from the very Reverend Catherine Ogle, Dean of Winchester, where Amanda Troughton's Corgi Lantern was crowned the winner.
Traffic safety fears at new housing development. A dangerous access road has become a major cause for concern for residents in Alford. White Hill Lane will be needed for construction traffic for a new roundabout on the A31 Alsford bypass. This is in preparation for the construction of a major housing development off Sun Lane, along with open space and an area for employment. The 320-house development by Taylor Wimpey is the biggest single expansion of the market town in more than 30 years. However, Chris White of Appledown Lane has serious worries over the safety of using White Hill Lane for the construction of the roundabout. Mr. White said, "I'm extremely concerned about plans to block off the Sun Lane of White Hill Lane. This would mean that all construction vehicles would have to use Whitehall Lane via Bishop Sutton. It would not be possible for two articulated lorries to pass one another on this lane. For such a vehicle to attempt a long reversal would be equally impossible, if not downright dangerous. Southern Water access the treatment works with articulated tanker vehicles, often more than once a day. If they are denied access, the whole of Alsford's sewage treatment would pile up. Mr. White suggested that it may be better to widen White Hill Lane or create a new bypass. Local councillor Margot Power said, "I share residents' concerns about the use of White Hill Lane. The impact on residents and businesses will be rather more dangerous than inconvenient. Hampshire County Council has insisted that White Hill Lane is the best route. I have asked the developer to provide details of how they intend to manage the traffic along a single width road. That information has not been forthcoming." A spokesman from developer Taylor Wimpey said, "We understand local residents' concerns regarding access to our proposed development at Alsford Down. We would like to assure residents that our plans are being carefully considered and that we will continue to work closely with both Hampshire County Council and Winchester City Council to ensure the most appropriate access route for construction vehicles is agreed." Councillor Nick Adams-King, the County Council's Executive Member for Highway Operations, said, "The details of the construction route for these works are currently still being assessed as part of the planning permission process for the Sun Lane development and have not yet been agreed."
We continue with the death announcements. Bell, Frank Bell, there are no dates given. Carter, Margaret E. Carter, on the 6th of November, aged 91. Cumming, Simon John Cumming, on the 23rd of October, aged 80. Elderfield, Alan Elderfield, on the 10th of November. Ewing, Alec John Ewing, known as Al, at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital on the 6th of November, aged 81. Richardson, Arthur Malcolm Richardson, at home on the 9th of November, aged 77. Sanderson, William Howden Sanderson, known as Sandy, at Winchester Hospital Hospice on the 12th of November, aged 101. Winders, Avril Beatrice Winders, née Sherritt, in the Royal Hampshire County Hospital on the 12th of November, aged 92. Winkworth, Ken Winkworth, at Yeovil District Hospital on the 7th of November, aged 75. Next we have Christian comment.
Pause for thought amid Christmas rush. Sunday was the feast of Christ the King, and next Sunday is the first of Advent, so we can all start getting ready for Christmas. The lights are on, the Christmas market is open, and the nights are drawing in. The shops are full of Christmas goods and are ready to sell them all to us. Before we head off into Advent, though, let's stop and reflect on Christ, the universal King. What does this mean? It is well explained in our second reading on Sunday, taken from the book of Colossians, Colossians 12-20. It is too long to reproduce here, but some pertinent points from it are: He delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. And He is the image of the invisible God, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. The point is that no person or state of power can overcome him or us if we shelter under him. He has already and will again conquer death, all evil and earthly power. When Jesus was on the cross, he was teased and tormented by the crowds and another being crucified for being named King of the Jews. Save yourself, they said. The other criminal defended him, saying, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus promised that he would be with him in paradise, as in Luke 23:35-43. It is a wonderful feast to end the church's liturgical year, a gathering up and reminder of all that we have been hearing and celebrating for the previous year. A sermon I read this morning reminds us that Jesus is not only King of all, but also Warrior of Mercy. See how on the cross, in agony and humiliation, he offers mercy to his fellow victim, promising paradise. When I am in pain, it's all I can think about, but he is greater than me. So as Christmas comes upon us, and I am swept up in the enchantment of it, much as I was when I was a child, take some time to reflect on who it is we are celebrating and why. Then consider his earthly life as a human and the mercy he showed in healing and forgiveness, even on the cross. We know God through his ways, and we can show mercy and kindness too in the glitter and excitement of this wonderful season. There are many ways to do this through giving, acts of kindness and prayer for others. Here we are, ready to go through 4 weeks of preparation. Light a candle in those dark evenings, then 2, 3, and 4 on each Sunday of Advent, and also spare a few minutes to think of that, of who that baby in Bethlehem was, and what it means for us now. Remember to stay awake, for you do not know when the Son of Man will come. And that is from Liz Tatham.
Next, we have the letters to the editor of the Hampshire Chronicle. If you yourself would like to send a letter to the Hampshire Chronicle, you can do so by either telephoning 01962 860836, that's 01962 860836, emailing letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, that's letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, or writing to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO238AL. That's 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO238AL. 8AL. There are just six letters this week, and we start with the first one, which I think is from the chairman of Hampshire County Council.
Yes, it's from Rob Humby, leader of Hampshire County Council, and it's headed Funding Crisis. Government's autumn statement brings into sharp focus the knock-on impacts to the nation of plans by central government to balance their books and local councils share your readers' acute concerns. Council services are the backbone of communities and people's day-to-day lives, social care, schools, roads, and the local economy. County councils like Hampshire carry out many important functions on behalf of government, like during COVID and the Ukraine crisis, and are well placed to help stimulate and grow the economy and boost business. But years of national austerity, inflation and rising demand for local services is pushing council budgets to breaking point. This is a national problem, and we have pressed central government for years to reform the way councils are funded. Simply allowing local authorities to raise council tax won't solve it. We need an effective, long-term solution that allows us to help Hampshire raise extra funding locally, strategically invest in our areas, and change outdated legislation. One way to do this is through the greater freedoms, flexibilities and powers that come with devolution to the wider area, like through a council deal of the likes we've seen elsewhere across England over the past decade. Far from facing bankruptcy in months, as some reports have recently suggested, Hampshire County Council is in a much better financial position than many other local authorities over the next 2 years because we've managed public money very effectively. But with unprecedented budget pressures forecast from 2025-26, it's right that we act now to engage early and proactively with government, highlight our concerns, and call for greater opportunities and freedoms for our local area to effectively navigate the financial challenges we face and continue to serve Hampshire residents for the future. And this is from Rob Humby, leader of Hampshire County Council, The Castle, Winchester.
A letter by Simon Lever, entitled Yes to Ice Rink. What a splendid idea. Replacing the disused Bar End depot with an Olympic-size ice rink, 10-pin bowling, space for climbing and a 4-lane curling pad. Such an adventurous plan on a vacant site would attract residents and visitors alike. The potential plans to further transform the site by including a budget hotel, restaurants and convenience store would add to its attraction. Such a privately funded project would create jobs and create a positive enterprising attraction to Winchester. A budget hotel would motivate visitors to stay over, enjoy a local restaurant and also attract visitors to Winchester city centre. It would be an awesome leisure facility. It would also contribute to council revenues. However, from previous plans that have been delayed and cancelled, costing tens of thousands of pounds, involving planning procedures, paying a council agent, meetings and more meetings, the City Council's procrastination and inability to move forward have cancelled potential interest in worthy projects. This project would be privately funded and has to be welcomed. Let us hope that red tape will not strangle this unique opportunity. Winchester's reputation would be further enhanced as an ideal location for sports and leisure, as well as the much-loved city itself. From Simon Lever, Juniper Close, Badger Farm, Winchester.
This next letter is about blocked drains, and it's from Julia Sanderson. Today has, like many in recent weeks, deposited a huge amount of rain onto the ground below. In Winchester, due to the fact that our county council, which claims to look after our streets and pavements but fails to do so, the water pours down the roads and pavements, having to bypass all the many drains which are blocked. Some have been severely blocked for over a decade, and the majority of them throughout the town are simply unable to cope with any water at all. The situation is exacerbated by the fact that the town is hilly, so the water pours down the Rumsey Road into town, unencumbered by any working drains. Probably most residents of our town feel as I do, that the county council should pull itself together and clear all the drains in the town centre, if it even knows where they all are. So writes Julia Sanderson, Clifton Road, Winchester.
This letter is about the importance of the open days, and it's from Rachel O'Neill. The threat to the future of Heritage Open Days, as revealed by Richard North, board member of Hampshire History Trust, in last week's paper, Chronicle November the 10th, is distressing news to many, and especially to my company, Two Time Theatre. We are Winchester's smallest but most prolific theatre company, and Heritage Open Days has provided us with a much-needed platform to showcase both original writing and local talent in creating opportunities for local talent, actors, directors, stage managers and others. Two Time Theatre has been an integral part of Winchester Heritage Open Days for the past few years. We mount professional productions of original dramas that centre on the rich history of Hampshire and its people. Past shows include Sir Walter's Women 2018, Tilly and the Spitfires 2019, and Pies and Prejudice 2021. Winchester Hods supplies venues for free, often the largest part of any production budget, and supports magnificently with marketing and volunteers, bringing us to the attention of new audiences and building awareness. In anticipation of 2023 Hods, we hope to stage an original one-act play about the medieval Jewess and businesswoman Licorisha, who lived and died in Winchester in the 1200s. This production is now under threat because of the lack of funding that would enable Winchester Hods to carry on delivering a vast range of high-quality events that enhance and benefit Winchester in countless ways. And that letter was from Rachel O'Neill, Nuns Road in Hyde, Winchester.
And this letter is from Tony Gaster, headed Brexit Mistake, with a large question mark. So Brexit was done, and sadly I voted for it. Yet just recently, one of the top restaurants in Winchester told me they could not get staff to open 7 days. This seems to be repeated all over, with staff shortages becoming really serious everywhere. And yet we are told unemployment here is at a very low level. So, it seems, Brexit is responsible, limiting the much-needed foreign workers from coming here. Conversely, illegal immigration, which was said to be a major issue, is at an all-time high. Has the government got it wrong? And that's from Tony Gaster, Old Kennels Lane, Oliver's Battery, Winchester.
So this is a letter from Keith Webb, the president of the Wessex branch of the BKVA, titled Remember Korea. 70 years ago this month, at the age of 21, I arrived in Pusan, Korea, to join my unit in the Commonwealth Division, fighting under the United Nations flag against the Chinese and North Koreans. As each year passes, there is less and less mention in the media of the losses we suffered in this bitter war, fought in extreme weather conditions, especially in the winter months when temperatures regularly drop to 50 degrees Fahrenheit below freezing, i.e. lower than that in the most domestic freezers. In the summer, the heat and the humidity during the monsoon made conditions almost as unbearable. The British lost over 1,000 killed during the conflict, about triple the losses in the Falklands. Other Commonwealth countries like Australia and Canada also suffered heavy losses. Those taken prisoner suffered extreme neglect and hardship. The BBC and the papers always cover the 39-49 World War, especially D-Day and the Falklands War, yet rarely mention Korea. It is quite inexplicable. One bright light is that the South Korea has not forgotten the suffering of the Korean veterans and always takes every opportunity to express their gratitude. When the Wessex branch of the Korean Veterans Association holds a social event, usually the military and air attaches attend with their wives and give very moving speeches of thanks. All Korean veterans were kept supplied with top quality masks during the COVID pandemic. Any veteran visiting Korea is always treated extremely well and like a hero. Korean veterans are in or nearly in their 90s now, and each year more die, but their memories do not fade. It is rather sad that the media seem to have forgotten. And that was from Keith Webb, president of the Wessex branch of the BKVA, Quarry Road, St Giles Hill, Winchester.
Next we have the Hampshire Chronicle editorial comment. That will be followed by letter from Westminster to Winchester. After that we will have First Person, which this week happens to have been written by Kimberly Barber, who is with us today, so she will read that. But first we have the Chronicle comment.
Yes, and the title of it is Right to Ban the Nuns from Minsk. They had been a fixture at almost all the Christmas markets at Winchester Cathedral. The nuns from Minsk in Belarus were a quirky, almost exotic addition to the traders in the inner close, with a great story. Piling lots of painted icons into the back of a van, they drove across Europe to sell their wares in England and raise money for their monastery and its work. Until this year. The Orthodox churches in Belarus and Russia have close links with their autocratic rulers, one of whom has unleashed the worst war in Europe since 1939 to 45. The leader of the monastery has expressed strong support for the war. Thousands of Ukrainians have left their invaded country and sought shelter in the UK, with hundreds in Winchester. To ban the nuns is right. It would only have been a matter of time before a breach of the peace occurred in the grounds of the cathedral. We owe it to our Ukrainian guests not to allow another source of conflict at this difficult time, even if nuns are the losers.
This week's letter from Westminster is from the Winchester MP Steve Brine. Constituents know of my passion for and focus on health matters, so it is great to become the new chairman of the influential Commons Health and Social Care Select Committee. Earlier this month, I gained the support of MPs from across the House to take over from Jeremy Hunt, who has, of course, become Chancellor. The committee has the power to question ministers and conduct inquiries into health issues, sitting on a cross-party basis, which is its great strength. The ability of the health and social care sectors to continue to deliver for patients is a key priority for my committee, particularly how to deal with the backlog caused by the pandemic and the need to recruit a workforce that's capable of meeting future demand. Further pressures look unavoidable given the current economic climate, and the chief executive of the NHS has set that out starkly in recent weeks. Despite spending vast sums on health, we fail to reap the rewards in better outcomes. We need to understand why and to press the government about getting better value for our money while delivering on the day job around access to GPs and dentists in particular. On mental health, We've a real challenge as demand far outstrips supply, and I know the government could do so much more in prevention to help tackle deeply concerning issues around health inequalities. Prevention and cancer will be my focus in the role, but look out for what will be a high-profile piece of work on assisted dying suicide in the new year. I welcome the opportunity as Chair to examine new solutions to support the NHS, to enable it to continue providing the services that we all depend on, and I look forward to working with the Ministers and MPs across the House in what is our clear national priority. This is a national role, but it will complement well my work in the constituency, and the response from local health leaders has been hugely supportive already. You can read more at stephenbrine.com/priority NHS. Secondly, and sticking with health, I spoke last month in an important debate in Parliament on access to fertility treatment for couples who are struggling to conceive naturally, calling for a step change in IVF treatment offered on the NHS. NICE guidance states that if you are unable to have children without medical help, women under 40 should be able to access 3 full cycles of NHS IVF. Yet the vast majority of the 1 in 6 couples diagnosed with fertility problems cannot access that. Sometimes they get one chance only because of local NHS decisions. We need, in my opinion, to level up access, and we need the NHS across the board to recognise that fertility is a medical issue. 3 strikes and you're out, let alone where it's less than that, is actually rather cruel, so I want to test how far ministers are prepared to change the system. This is a subject I will be returning to in one or more forms during this Parliament. Finally, my winter constituency newspaper is out now and being delivered to homes across Winchester, Chandlesford and the villages. It is packed full of news and reports on my work in Westminster, details of the cost of living help we have made available so far, and huge amounts of my activity in Winchester on our behalf. As I have done for 14 plus years, it is a wholly positive publication. Compare and contrast is my challenge to constituents, and you can download a copy at www.stevebrine.com/publications. And that's the letter from Steve Brine.
So, online abuse is unacceptable. Written by myself, Kimberly Barber. The safety and resilience of journalists is a hot topic right now. I attended a lunchtime panel organised by the National Council for the Training of Journalists, Journalism Skills Academy, and it coincided with the launch of its new e-learning course. 3 of my reporters completed the training when it was in its trial phase, and they all said they benefited from it. But why is the NCTJ throwing the spotlight on this particular issue? It says there is an increasing risk in the profession that is having a profound effect on journalists' mental health and well-being. The NCTJ surveyed journalists, and 78% of respondents said safety was a genuine concern, while 90% said they need more guidance and support on the topic. Laura Adams, head of the Journalism Skills Academy, said, "The safety of journalists is a source of huge concern at the moment, and it is important that all journalists are aware of the risks and how to respond if they are faced with them. As journalists, there is an ever-increasing expectation from the public that we should be switched on 24 hours a day. The reality is that we're all just individual people with our own families and personal lives. As much as scooping a top story makes us happy, or seeing our hard work pay off with an exclusive front page will fill us with pride, most journalists are juggling a huge amount of responsibilities, work and stories. I'm acutely aware that people feel their story is the most important, as it's most likely to be the most important thing that's happening to them right now. But sometimes our journalists do not have the time that's needed to dedicate to it, or and do it properly. Sometimes there are other stories that are more newsworthy or topical that take precedence on the news agenda. Often there are stories that need to be reported, that we have a moral duty to report, that are upsetting to some. Not everyone wants to see their name in the paper, but if the press only featured the good, it would be a very different world. All our stories display the name of the author. Journalists are their own brand, and this is looked on favourably by readers who can follow them and trust them, and it's also favoured by Google. But this does come with its downside. It means journalists appear to be available, to be contactable. In fact, it's very easy to find out how to message them directly. Most good journalists encourage this. They like to receive tip-offs. Normally, reporters enjoy speaking to people. That's why they end up in the profession in the first place. We are genuinely interested. But what we are not interested in is the level of criticism or abuse that comes with being connected 24/7. Sophie Perry, the digital reporter at the Oxford Mail, spoke at the panel about some of the abuse she's received. Direct, personal abuse. So much so that she has had to take breaks from social media to protect her mental health. She's had to step away from the thing that she uses every day as part of her job in order to keep her sanity. Other people on the panel referred to social media as riding straight into a live battlefield. Online abuse and harassment are increasingly challenging issues for journalists across the industry. This week alone, I've received emails at 4 a.m, dealt with a complaint that referred to our journalists as snowflakes, responded to another that started with, "I do not wish to tell you how to run your paper, but..." and had at least one person from the online section of my sites banned for singling out a specific reporter. This is a mild week. Other weeks, I've spent hours being shouted at on the phone, threatened physically. One person even said they were going to kill my cat. People have attempted to blackmail me, and another particularly unpleasant character told me that if I ran the story about him, he would tell everyone, including my partner, that I was having an affair, complete with an implied threat of doctoring photos that he would use as evidence. Attacks against journalists, particularly online, have increased in recent years. I've spoken before about the need to crack down on how people operate online and the need to educate people about what is and isn't acceptable. It's about time that we all worked out some boundaries.
Hear, hear.
And later on, there will be a news item on the same subject about the online abuse being received by our local MPs. So we'll be reading that later in the recording. Right, local event, what's on? Obviously, you've heard that the Winchester Cathedral Christmas Market is well underway, and there are, I think there'll be another couple of stories about that later on in the recording. Our three local National Trust properties are also promoting Christmas events. At the Winchester City Mill, Christmas is being promoted there. It says, with warming winter coffee, tasty lunches and homemade festive bakes. So that's at Winchester City Mill, which is open Wednesday to Sundays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. At Hinton Ampner, they're having something themed to do with the Wind of the Willows, and the site is open every day, but the house is only open from Wednesdays to Sundays. And then at Mottisfont, third of our National Trust properties, step into a Narnia-inspired world this winter. So, a lot going on for that. At the Ark, which is the old library or
Discovery Centre,
and whatever it is called now. Anyway, we all know where it is. There is a new exhibition called A Farewell to Art, Chagall, Shakespeare and Prospero, which is showcasing a limited edition portfolio by Marc Chagall. That's on until the middle of February. After and then about a musical theatre group. After being cancelled due to COVID, a music theatre group is relaunching its pantomime as they follow the yellow brick road to Oz. The Crawley Players will be performing at Crawley Village Hall from December the 2nd to the 4th. The show will entail multi-sensory special effects, scenery, popular songs, dancers and creative costumes, along with traditional pantomime antics. So that's at Crawley Village Hall on Friday the 2nd of December, Saturday the 3rd of December, and then there's a matinee on Sunday the 4th of December. Tickets for that are available via the Theatre Royal box office, which is 01962 840 440. That's 01962 840 440. But if you're ringing up the Theatre Royal box office, you need to be very careful, because the Theatre Royal are also presenting The Wizard of Oz as their pantomime this year, and that's on for a much longer period. That starts on the 3rd of December, January, and goes through until the 2nd of January next year. So if you don't manage to see The Wizard of Oz at Crawley Hall, you can see it in the Theatre Royal, or maybe you want to see it at both places. Sunrise today was about 7:45 in the morning, and sunset is about 4:15 in the afternoon. If you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with the recordings you have received from us, please contact us on 01962 861 229. That's 01962 861 229. This number can also be found on the key fob attached to the memory stick. We now move on to further items of news interest. Tony.
Market up and running. Winchester's famous Christmas market has started with a wide variety of stalls and hundreds of people around the cathedral grounds. On the first morning of the event, in the inner close, lots of people were looking around at the large number of products on offer. The wide range of stalls include food, drink, jewellery, crafts and artwork. The ice rink is not a part of the market again this year, with the performance stage returning. Hugh Anderson, who was at the market with Downton Distillery earlier this year, Hugh helped the Grand Tour presenter James May create a gin of his own called Asian Parsnip. Mm. Hugh said it's fantastic to be back here. It's Christmas. Matt Hall from the Cheese Wedge Company said, "We've been trying for 4 years to get a stall at the market, and we've finally got here. Come on down and try our cheese. We have a sprouts and bacon cheese, which is a Christmas edition and very unusual." Rebecca Woodhead from the charity Mountbatten Hampshire said, "We used to be Countess Mountbatten Hampshire. We're here today to raise some awareness, let people know we're here, raise a bit of money and have fun with it. We've done around 3 years at the market and it's been really lovely." Sally Jenkins from Flapjackery said, "This is the first time we've been at the market since before COVID. We're off to a grand start this morning and the sun is shining, which makes it all the better. The Winchester Cathedral Christmas Market will be open daily until Thursday, December the 22nd.
MPs reveal full scale of vile abuse. MPs are bombarded with more than 3,000 offensive tweets every day, according to a recent investigation. "It's just vile," are the words of one Meon Valley MP. According to the research covering 6 weeks between March and April this year, one in every 20 tweets sent to MPs was deemed to be toxic. Figures provided by the BBC's Shared Data Unit revealed that 50 tweets were sent to MPs in the Rumsey and Winchester area. Female MPs were marginally more likely to receive abuse, including terms such as thick and ignorant, and to be subjected to sexualised language. Meanwhile, their male counterparts were more likely to be called liars. Conservative MP Caroline Noakes, the member for Romsey and Southampton North, received the most abuse during the investigation's remit with 42 toxic tweets. In response, Ms. Noakes said, "I turn off notifications and simply don't look. The pity of that is that those who send abuse mean that I can never have any sort of meaningful exchange with anyone on social media. The block and mute buttons are frequently deployed." Winchester and Chandler's Ford MP Steve Brine was targeted with 8 tweets during the same period. According to the data, Tory MPs were almost twice as likely to be the subject of a tweet classed as severely toxic. One user sent 128 toxic-related tweets to male MPs and 85 to female MPs during the time period. The Conservative MP for Meon Valley, Flick Drummond, quick Twitter in 2021, citing out-of-hand abuse. She said, "I came off it, but it was purely because it was another thing to look at. You just say, 'Oh God,' and they're just horrible people. And they feel that they can hide behind their Twitter handle. You don't know who they are. It's just vile. And I have to say, my mental health is much improved since I've come off it." Prime Minister and former Winchester College head boy Rishi Sunak received the second most severely toxic tweets of any MP. He only trailed Boris Johnson in the ratings. At the time, the ex-PM was in the midst of the lockdown party's probe.
City tree planting initiative takes root. The first of thousands of new trees has been planted in Winchester to celebrate and highlight the value of local food and drink producers across the south of England. Southern Co-op is marking the 15th anniversary of its local flavours food and drink range by partnering with the South Downs National Park to plant thousands of trees over the next few months. It is part of the Trees for the Downs, which is one strand of its nature recovery drive at the National Park. The park's Re-Nature campaign is looking to create new habitats where plants and animals can thrive. The retailer has made a donation of more than £10,000, which will pay for over 7,000 new trees from Winchester to East Dean and Binstead to Slindon. Southern Co-op's Matt Elliott said, "We wanted a more permanent way to celebrate our local flavour's 15th anniversary, as well as a physical way of thanking our local suppliers, who continue to work hard to provide communities with tasty products with significantly reduced food miles." The South Downs National Park is an incredible resource right on our doorstep and will bring alive the drive to be more sustainable and tackle climate change. Sonia Lorenzo Martin, who leads Woodlands in the South Downs National Park, said, "So far, around 22,000 trees have been planted across the national park at over 30 different sites, and we want to plant many more. Our aim is to plant 100,000 trees in total, so there's still a long way to go."
Local hero Flicks Christmas Switch. Christmas has well and truly started in Winchester as the city's festive lights were switched on in the city centre. Thousands of people gathered on the Broadway outside the Guildhall to watch performances from local groups last Thursday. The lights were switched on by Jessica Giles, who was nominated in Winchester Business Improvement District's search for a local hero campaign. Single mum Jessica threw herself into helping the local community during lockdown, setting up the Give a Little Facebook page to encourage people to share what they had and didn't need. Now with 11,000 followers, Jessica has engaged with over 600 businesses who each give her free items via her Facebook page. After the countdown, lights along the High Street, on the Guildhall and the tree at the Buttercross lit up the city centre. Groups including Winchester A Cappella, Pilgrim School Chamber Choir, Hairstock Primary School Choir, the Spitfire Sisters and Diva Academy entertain the crowd throughout the evening. After the lights had been switched on, Jessica said, "That was incredible. It's just wonderful to know you've done something for good." The idea came about when I went to the school gate of Stanmore Primary School and I was told that some parents couldn't give any presents to their kids. So I thought, how can I help the community? So I created Give a Little. I needed to see some good in the world and I wanted to help others. It's insane that it's got 11,000 followers in a year. The Switch On was organised by Winchester BID. Paul Spencer, Executive Director, said, "It has been a great turnout. Thankfully, the weather has been okay. It's a great community event. All of the performances are linked with local community groups. It's a real feel-good mood and a great event to kickstart Christmas in Winchester."
Writer sheds light on life behind bars. A thought-provoking book is shedding light on life behind bars at Winchester Prison. Doing Time, supported by Hampshire Cultural Trust, shares the stories of the people who live and work at the prison on Romsey Road. The book was written by Winchester Magazine editor Liz Kavanagh, who spent over 6 months visiting the prison before, after and during the pandemic, when prisoners were almost permanently locked in cells. It tells the stories of the people who live and work at the county prison and includes the prison's 175 years of history. Liz said, "Each year, 2,000 men pass through Winchester Prison on remand, awaiting release and serving sentences. The book provides an overview of the many individuals who make up the prison, from teachers and prison officers to the prisoners themselves. Their stories have been written as they have been told, without agenda." She said that they will reveal the huge challenges that the prison faces operationally, as well as the dedication of the people who work there, highlighting the pitfalls of a criminal justice system where reoffending is far too common. The stories told by prisoners will reveal how debt, drug addiction, and lack of family support can all lead to crime. Deborah Newbar, Director of Community and Impact at Hampshire Cultural Trust, said, "Doing Time has provided real insight into what life is like behind the walls in one of Winchester's most prominent landmarks. The stories that have been shared are both challenging and inspirational. Photography by Winchester photographer Javed Akhtar also features throughout the book, revealing the reality of prison life. Doing Time is available to buy for £10 from P&G Wells Bookshop."
Keen interest in old base plans. Residents poured into the first round of discussions over the future of a redundant army base near Winchester. Developers Legal and General and Gisborne, with landowners the Church Commissioners for England, launched their consultation on plans for the circa 1 million square foot regeneration of Bushfield Camp at Shawfield Parish Hall. The developers are proposing a mixed-use scheme that they say has the potential to attract major brands looking for new headquarters from sectors including life science, academia, media and health. The base near Badger Farm has been empty since the mid-1970s and much of it is undeveloped chalk downland. Campaigners have been calling for a chunk of the site to be turned into a nature reserve. Several boards displaying how the total 43-hectare site will be provided were on display at the event. Guests were also able to discuss key themes such as accessibility, management and the protection of green space. David Patterson of MAKE, the the architects behind the conceptual layout, revealed the landowner is yet to accept any expressions of interest from potential bidders. He said, "It's very early stages. The whole purpose of these two consultations is to understand from the local community what they want to see happen. Obviously, Winchester City Council has allocated the site for employment use, so that's the focus at the moment. The current projection splits the site into four sections. The old army camp area, which is around 20 hectares, is the only part of the plot earmarked for development. Drover's Field, Beach Hangover and the Meadows have been set aside as spaces for projects such as habitat creation, opportunities for outdoor education and potential for new connections. However, some residents have questioned who will take on the management and cost of the surrounding land in the long term. Ken Lee, 77, from Oliver's Battery, attended the consultation. He said, "My immediate reaction is that there's not enough information on what is actually going to be there. We're just told it's a development. We don't know the height of the buildings, the size of the buildings, or anything about them. So it's hard to be able to make a decision when you don't know whether they're going to be five-storey blocks or whatever else." Local councillor Jan Warwick was also at the event. She said, "We always knew this site might come forward in some shape or form, as it has been in the local plan since 2013 as an opportunity site. But I'm also really aware it's around 40 hectares, of which half is very rural, biodiverse area that needs protecting. So I think doing this consultation is so important because most residents accept this site will be developed, but they don't want the whole site developed. One option that is being explored is adding an extra arm onto the St Cross roundabout and re-evaluating its existing layout. The other, which has been put forward by developers, is Badger Farm Road, although Mr Patterson admitted it would be more challenging in terms of creating cycling infrastructure and safe slip roads from a high-speed route. The second event was held at Badger Farm Community Centre last Sunday before moving into the next round of consultations in January."
Tiger Veterans Tribute to Fallen Comrades. A tree was recently planted in Winchester to remember those who died in past military campaigns. On Wednesday, November the 16th, veterans of the Royal Hampshire Regiment, known as the Tigers, gathered in the Memorial Garden at Searle's House in Southgate Street to dedicate a new tree in memory of their comrades who had served in the military campaigns in Malaya 1954-56 and Borneo 1966. During the service, the names of 13 members of the regiment who lost their lives in both campaigns were read out. The idea behind the planting was the brainchild of Bill George of Winchester, who served with the 1st Battalion of the Royal Hampshire Regiment in Malaya during their tour of duty in 1954-56. The tree had been donated by Hillier's Nurseries. The service was led by Reverend Mary Coppings of St Paul's Church, Winchester, whose late husband, Peter, had served in the Royal Hampshire Regiment for more than 22 years and had taken part in the campaign in Borneo in 1966.
Egg shortages. Winchester is currently hit by an egg crisis with empty shelves throughout the city. The shortage has been caused by a dispute between the supermarkets and producers who say they are not being paid enough. On Monday, Tesco Express had no eggs at all. Sainsbury's on Middle Brook Street had only a shelf at the back with a small number of free-range eggs. Organic eggs were only available at M&S. On Tuesday, Tesco in Winnell boasted an extensive range of value, free-range and organic eggs. Sainsbury's in Badger Farm has no eggs at all. Sam Burge of Vale Farm Free Range Eggs said, "It's been a long time coming. For a long time, the supermarkets haven't been paying a fair price because it's a race to see who can sell the cheapest eggs. A small part of it is bird flu, which has meant some flocks of laying hens have had to be slaughtered. I believe that takes around 1 million eggs a day off the shelf. Farmers haven't been restocking with new birds because they're barely breaking even."
Could do better. Primary school's Ofsted setback. A village primary school has been told that it requires improvement by inspectors. Cheriton Primary School was told that its pupils do not achieve as well as they should in a recent Ofsted inspection. The school's previous inspection gave it outstanding rating 14 years ago. Despite it being rated as requires improvement, it was rated as good for behaviour and attitudes and personal development. The report said pupils do not achieve as well as they should. This is because the curriculum is still in development. Leaders have not given teachers enough information about the small steps pupils need to build their learning. As a result, teachers do not always plan activities that build on pupils' existing understanding and sometimes introduce new content before pupils are ready. Leaders work with external agencies to secure support for pupils and their families. However, record keeping is not as robust as it could be. In a small number of cases, safeguarding files were incomplete. However, the report commented on positive aspects of school life, saying, "Pupils enjoy attending this welcoming and caring school. Everyone understands its core mission, be the best we can be. All adults have a high expectation for pupils' behaviour and conduct. They have created a culture of kindness." One parent's comment summed up the view of many, stating that this is a wonderfully nurturing school. "Pupils are respectful and tolerant of others. Break times are calm and pupils of all ages play together harmoniously. Children in their early years listen attentively, share resources, and engage readily in their learning. Throughout the school, and pupils are quick to follow routines. They are keen to help each other and their teachers." Andrew Goldsworthy, the head teacher, said, "Given our well-established history as an outstandingly rated school, we were understandably disappointed by this latest outcome. However, we were pleased to note the inspector's findings that our children enjoy coming to school and have a positive attitude to learning." The school was described as having a culture of kindness, of which we are very proud. The school is committed to addressing the areas for improvement identified in the inspection, and we are working with local authority to achieve this. Our work to develop our curriculum is ongoing and remains a key priority. Moreover, we have further strengthened our safeguarding processes, and these will be regularly monitored to ensure the highest standards are maintained.
Pubs packed as fans enjoy England win. World Cup fever gripped Winchester's pubs as England swept aside Iran to cruise to a comfortable 6-2 victory in their opening game of Group B. Gareth Southgate's side netted three times before half-time through Jude Bellingham, Bukayo Saka and Raheem Sterling to put them firmly in ascendancy. Saka, who suffered a penalty shootout heartbreak in the final of the Euros, then added to his tally with another after the break before Marcus Rashford and Jack Grealish put the game beyond doubt. Iran, who were forced to substitute goalkeeper Alireza Behrenvend early on due to a nasty collision, responded twice through Porto striker Mehdi Taremi. In Winchester, the pubs were packed with fans in England tops cheering the Three Lions on despite the 1 p.m. kickoff time. Chris Townend, 23, who studies at the University of Winchester, was in O'Neill's pub for the game. He said, "It's lovely to see the community come together to support the team. It's coming home." Kira Bamford, 20, said, "We're going to win it. If you believe, you achieve, right?" In the County Arms, supporters defied the dreary conditions as they huddled by a screen under a veranda. Groups could be heard chanting their way down the high street afterwards in an understandably jubilant mood.
No nudes rule angers art club. An art club has expressed its disappointment on a blanket ban on exhibiting the naked human body. Members from Winchester Art Club were given an application form for their current exhibition with the Hampshire Cultural Trust, that's the HCT, forbidding them from including, quote, portrayals of nude figures, unquote. The ban was imposed for all exhibitors using the city space in the Arc, previously the Discovery Centre in Jury Street, due to the display being moved outside the closed-off gallery into public view. The president of the art club said this is the first blanket ban he's faced in 50 years of taking part in exhibitions. Tony Hunt, the president, said the depiction of nudes has been fundamental to art from the Stone Age to now. It's the study of the human figure. The value of drawing and life drawing is the basis of art. I'm disappointed. 100 years ago, the world was much more prudish. This is an example of wokeness and people being too afraid of causing offence to anybody. And why should someone be offended by a sensitive portrayal of the human body? Winchester Art Club has its own tribunal and judging panel that monitors what content is suitable for display. Mr. Hunt added, "Any form of blanket ban is concerning because we have a very controlled process. I don't think the Hampshire Cultural Trust's ban is necessary as the judging panel monitor what's appropriate. It should be looked at on a case-by-case basis. Artwork that has the qualities for the exhibition shouldn't be banned simply because it is unclothed." Hampshire Cultural Trust's visual arts exhibition manager, Kirsty Rodder, said, "City space was located in an enclosed area on the ground floor. This enabled us to give visitors sufficient pre-warning if an exhibition contained content that could be seen as either offensive or sensitive." During the building's refurbishment earlier this year, city space was moved to a new location outside the gallery on the upper floor to create a greater connection between the two exhibition spaces. This move does, however, mean that city space is now completely open to all visitors to the Arc, and we no longer have the ability to warn visitors of any potentially offensive or sensitive content. As the Arc is a family-friendly venue and a public library that welcomes all ages and faiths, we have therefore introduced new measures, making the decision that it would no longer be appropriate to display any offensive or sensitive content, whether that be nudity or bad language, that the many different people and communities who visit the Arc may come across as they use the building. The new measures do not apply to the facility's other exhibition space inside the gallery, where sufficient notice can be given of, quote, potentially sensitive or offensive content, unquote. Winchester Art Club's exhibition has been running at City Space since last week.
Inspector full of praise for friendly, caring nursery staff. A nursery has been praised for its friendly and caring staff in a new Ofsted report. The Nancy Harper Nursery, which is based in St Faith's Parish Hall, St Cross, was given a rating of good in all areas following the inspection earlier in the year. Nursery manager Mary Ayres said, "We pride ourselves in providing a family-feel nursery. We have been in the heart of the community for over 50 years, caring for and educating 2 to 4-year-olds. We understand and value each child and family individually and endeavour to give them the best possible start. Being in such a prime location, we make full use of the surrounding water meadows and allotments. We believe that providing a variety of experiences for the children excites their imagination and enhances their learning."
Christmas Panto with Sci-Fi Twist. One of Winchester's oldest amateur theatre groups is preparing to boldly go into the panto season. The Worthy Players' latest production sees sci-fi meeting traditional panto in a show called Panto Trek. Actors and backstage crew have been hard at work for months, rehearsing and preparing the scenery, props and costumes. The Christmas Panto is not the only celebration for this enthusiastic group. Next year marks its 50th birthday. The Worthy Players was established in 1973 and has since performed more than 130 shows, including drama, comedy, variety and old-time music hall. It's staged a pantomime every year, although the 2020 show was online due to the pandemic. Panto Trek has been written by two members of the Worthy Players, David and Alison Wolford, along with Nick and Mel Boatwright. The story revolves around the spaceship Cut Price, which is forced to land on the planet Panto 9. The crew meet a variety of pantomime characters and is drawn into their challenges with the evil twin emperors Ming and Ping. The performances take place at the Jubilee Hall on December the 2nd and 3rd and 9th and 10th. Tickets for the evening and matinee shows are on sale on the website www.theworthyplayers.co.uk. Meanwhile, a number of special events are planned for 2023. These will include an exhibition with photos of previous shows, special performances, and a party with present and past members. The Worthy Players would love to hear from anyone with past associations of the group. The team is also keen to welcome new members, whether that be budding actors, front of house, technical or support crew. The group meets at the Jubilee Hall on Tuesday and Wednesday evenings at 7:30. Members of all ages come from the Worthy villages as well as further afield. Martin Pettigrew, the group chairman, said, "It is fantastic that the players have come back so strongly after COVID, with Panto Trek, the fourth staged production in 16 months. We now hope more people will come forward to ensure this enthusiastic and talented group can continue to live long and prosper."
Date set to travel in style. The Winchester-based Friends of King Alfred Buses has confirmed details of the services it will operate on January the 1st. While in keeping with the policy of recent years, the original King Alfred running day will be in the spring on Bank Holiday May the 1st. A smaller operation involving at least 6 King Alfred vehicles and 2 visiting buses will take place on New Year's Day. This will maintain a long-established tradition and provide a service for the many supporters who would still like to travel on these historic buses during the winter. As usual, the bus services will be centred on the Broadway in Winchester, with the first journey leaving at 9:15 a.m. and the last at 4:20 p.m. A full timetable will be available and copies may be obtained in advance by post from Friends of King Alfred Buses, 13 Ashley Close, Winchester, SO22 6LR, price £5.
Mystery of broken railings. Two railings on a busy Winchester street have been knocked down, leaving debris on the pavement. The metal railings on St George's Street were found on the ground on Tuesday, November the 15th, along with pieces of plastic from a vehicle. The damaged railings were found several yards away from their original location, which could indicate that they were hit with force by a vehicle. It is not known what sort of vehicle collided with the railings.
Bella, Italian salon named best newcomer. A new hair salon in Winchester has won a prestigious award after battling it out with 700 other hair professionals. Giuseppe Manso celebrated winning best new salon at this year's Salon Awards. The salon, which launched in June 2021, picked up the prize during the ceremony at the Leonardo Royal London St Paul's Hotel on Sunday, November the 13th. Owner Giuseppe, who runs the salon in Staple Gardens, said, "We take an Italian approach to everything." Sorry, I won't carry on like that. "For instance, the highest quality cutting, styling and colour. And, of course, we're even choosy about the coffee we serve. I'm very proud of the salon, my team and all that we've already achieved in this short space of time." The salon caters to men and women and offers specific treatment for clients with scalp issues. Giuseppe said, "My clients mean the world to me. My aim is to make everyone leave feeling special and looked after. I want everyone to feel relaxed and receive five-star treatment. I started cutting hair in Napoli at the age of 13 and dreamt of having my own salon in England. I worked in a salon in Winchester and made my dream of owning my own salon come true. It feels amazing." Giuseppe has brought a bit of Italy to Winchester, serving only Italian coffee and playing Italian music in his salon.
Bravo.
Unit is open day centrepiece. Sparshot College welcomes students to its 183-hectare countryside campus for an open event, exploring the facilities and courses on offer. The subject-specific tours at Sparshot Campus and University Centre were part of the college's second open day of the academic year. The tours allow pupils to see the inside Sparshot's industry standard facilities, including the new 2.5 million Animal Health and Welfare Research Centre, which was opened earlier this month by Her Royal Highness the Princess Royal. The centre has had new arrivals recently, including vulturine guinea fowl chicks, porcupines, and paddy melon. Whatever they are. The campus offers tea levels in agriculture, land management, and production from September 2023, including trees and woodland, ornamental horticulture, crop production, livestock production and land-based engineering. Before introducing animal care management and equine care and management in 2024, Principal and CEO of Sparshot College Group, Julie Milburn, said our subject-specific tours give students a fantastic glimpse into what life is like as a Sparshot student, and what exciting new facilities we have planned on campus for tea levels.
Westminster debut for Dev. The youth MP for Winchester has joined an exclusive club to become one of the only non-frontbench MPs to get to speak at the dispatch box at the House of Commons. Dev Sharma, 17, delivered a powerful speech calling for greater action to tackle climate change. His speech was met with loud applause from the other youth MPs. On Friday, November 4th, members of the Youth Parliament debated topics related to health. Some 250 members of Youth Parliament from across the UK participated in the Commons debate, focused on health-related issues as diverse as the cost of living crisis and the ongoing effects of climate change. The sit-in was chaired by the Speaker of the House, Sir Lindsay Hoyle MP, and was broadcast via BBC Parliament, UK Parliament Live, and inscribed to Hansard. Dev was one of 12 youth MPs from across the country elected to deliver a speech. Dev said, "The cost of living crisis and climate change remains at the top of young people's minds, and it's clear that this will continue to have an impact on young people's mental health and well-being. Members of Youth Parliament took these issues to the heart of our democracy, Parliament, and it is now for decision makers to ensure action is taken to address these issues. Our campaign will seek to ensure young people are not forgotten in this conversation."
Views sought on water plan. A regional plan that proposes how the long-term challenges facing water supplies in southeast England should be met has been published for consultation. The draft regional plan produced by Water Resources South East, that's WRSE, identifies the need for more than £15 billion worth of investment over the next 50 years to cut leakage, lower water use, build new reservoirs and transfer supplies to the water-scarce South East region from other parts of the country. It sets out the action needed to increase the region's resilience to drought and avoid a potential 0.8 billion litre per day shortfall in water supplies by 2035. This could rise to 2.7 billion by 2075, which is around 40% of the total amount of water currently provided each day by the six water companies that operate across the region. The shortfall in water supplies is being driven by the need to address climate change and population growth, alongside delivering long-term improvements to the region's environment. More than half the investment in the draft regional plan will enable water companies to reduce how much water they abstract from their existing sources, including many of the region's chalk streams and groundwater. This comes following one of the driest years on record, with drought declared across much of the country and the whole of the southeast England.
Shows 70k for hospitals. Thousands of pounds were raised by an art show for Winchester, Basingstoke and Andover hospitals, thanks to generous sponsorship. Hampshire Art Show took place to showcase local talent while raising money for Hampshire Medical Fund. The show at West Stoke Farm Barn in South Wanston raised more than £70,000, which has gone towards a new system for women's health to treat those suffering with difficult gynaecological conditions. Additionally, funding will go towards another bronchoscope for the respiratory departments in Winchester and Basingstoke hospitals to improve care for lung cancer patients. As lead sponsor, Investment Service J.M. Finn hosted a private reception at its Winchester branch where visitors could learn more about the medical charity. Chief Executive of the Hampshire Medical Fund, Lucy Arnott, added, "We were thrilled that J.M. Finn liked the idea of a Hampshire Medical Fund art show and wished to continue their ongoing and hugely appreciated support of the charity, enabling us to provide much-needed funds for local Hampshire hospitals. The response from our loyal supporters, as well as many clients and friends of J.M. Finn, was fantastic, and we hope that this event will continue to inspire for many years to come."
Hundreds birthday cards call for care home character. A care home character is turning 100, and the staff are asking for people to send in their cards to show her how incredible she is. Laura Sheldrake, companionship team leader at Colon Cares St. Catherine's View, has called out to the public to help give as many birthday cards as possible to a much-loved resident who is soon to reach 100. The care home worker put out a plea on Facebook in hope of giving resident Jo Goff the birthday she deserves. Laura posted on the Facebook group Winchester Rants, "We have an amazing lady turning 100 very soon and would love to get as many cards as possible for her. If anyone could help, she loves the colour turquoise, the garden and music. I would love to get some from different countries as she has travelled well in the past, so please share around." Jo has been living at the dementia care home in Stanmore for 3 years and kept her spirits throughout the COVID restrictions, despite being limited in seeing her 5 children. Cards should be sent to St. Catherine's View Care Home, Stanmore Lane, Winchester, SO22-4BL, by December the 1st. Staff and residents will be celebrating Jo's 100th birthday with a tea party and will turn her into a queen for the day.
A comment piece from Belgarum, the Hampshire Chronicle's resident grumpy Wintonian. This year marked only my 2nd time experiencing Winchester Cathedral Christmas Market. From the moment I arrived, I knew it would be an improvement on last year. In 2021, COVID was still a serious cause for concern, with measures taken to ensure that huts were spaced out and that social distancing was still possible. This was on the back of the market being cancelled in 2020. At the entrance to the inner close, a woman was standing there, welcoming everyone in and saying goodbye to all who left. There is certainly a wide range of offerings at the market this year. I must have seen at least 3 different cheese stalls. There were also more quirky stalls, such as one specialising in secateurs and another in handmade pasta. As with last year, the centre of the market was dedicated to hot food and drink. In one corner was a massive cauldron of glühwein, with someone stirring it with a huge wooden spoon. For lunch, there are a variety of options, from hot crumble to French and German hot dogs. However, I decided to try out the cathedral's own burger stand. The price of this was a little steep, with a 1/4-pounder cheeseburger and chips weighing in at £10. It was a thick patty in a brioche bun with a small tub of chips. It was good quality, but the hot dogs were priced around £7.50 and looked much nicer and bigger in comparison. However, it did fill me up though, so it wasn't too bad. Anyway, Winchester Cathedral's Christmas market has its own unique charm, and that is, if there is something you want a piece of, head down there and you won't be disappointed. It's open every day until December 22nd.
Right, well, that concludes our extracts for the week. Anyway, I hope you all enjoy the run-up to Christmas. Do go and support the Christmas market and all the various pantos and things that are on. Our thanks to our editors for selecting the extracts this week, to the copying, dispatch and memory stick preparation teams, and to our readers today, who were Tony Bergstrom.
Goodbye.
Jane Rutter.
Goodbye.
John Richards.
Goodbye.
And a very, very many thanks to our guest reader, Kimberly Barber.
Goodbye, and thank you very much for supporting the Hampshire Chronicle.
Right. And from me, John Parker, goodbye. Don't forget to return your memory stick as soon as possible, remembering to put the label inside the envelope. Thank you.